To everyone. This morning, obviously, we're going to talk about Pesach, but what I would like to talk about, what? Of course. But what I'd like to talk about is an issue that shouldn't be an issue on Pesach, but much to my dismay, every year, inevitably, at this time of the year, if I had to do a survey, which I didn't, because in the last few days, Israel has done so many surveys, I got sick of reading them. But had the elections not been yesterday, and had we not been gone through their surveys for the last 100 days since they said there's going to be elections, and I would have done a survey as, what is the most common question I get before Pesach? The answer is going to be, do I need to buy kosher for Pesach, furniture polish, dishwashing soap, bleach, tissues, and my favorite, surgical gloves? These are the questions that are the most common. So before you go shopping for Pesach, which I believe is going to be during the next few days, I would like very much to make as much as possible this crystal clear in your mind, so you know what is halacha, what is a chumrah, and what is absolutely, unequivocally bupkis, has no relationship at all between Pesach, Judaism, and the grocery shopper. Those are the three categories. What's halacha, what's a chumrah, and what has absolutely no validity. Now, if you look on the top of the page, you will see that throughout the year we have a cardinal rule. Right side of the page, Avodah Zarah, Daf Samech Zayin, Amud Bet, quoting the pasuk that's written in the Torah a few times, Lo tuchal, lo tuchlu kol nevela, lagera shevesha arecha, titnena ve'achala. You can't eat a nevela. What's a nevela?
An animal that died without
shechita. You can't eat it. You can give it to your non-Jewish neighbor. And the Gemara says, Kol aruya leger kuya nevela. If it's edible for a non-Jew, meaning you would eat it if you were Jewish, but I'm Jewish, what am I going to do? The Torah said no. Then you can give it to a non-Jew. But if it's not even edible for a non-Jew, that's not called a nevela. That's not called a piece of meat. What is it called? In halachic language, we call it pagum, tarnished, non-edible. So it has to be edible for a human being's consumption. In the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, kol davar sh'ta'amo pagum, yeredeya kuf gimel amud seif aleph, and all says ha'arubato. So if you take a piece of meat, and the piece of meat is a nevela that's inedible, and you put it into your chicken soup, then the chicken soup is 100% kosher. You may be an idiot for eating it because you might get sick. But according to the laws of kashrus, there's no problem. However, if you look on the left side of the page, you'll see that in two areas we go a step further. We don't say edible for a human being's consumption, but we go down or up the ladder one more notch, and we say it has to be edible not just for a human being's consumption, it has to be inedible for a dog, or edible for a dog, any way you want to cut it. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Taharos says, Kolam v'taros, kolam yuchaz ochal adam, tamei achi yifasel miyochal akelev. And that's the way we paskin Mesechet Pesachim daf memhei amud bet. And indeed, the Ran asks, how come Pesach is different from all the rest of the year? Yesh lomar, d'hachishani, b'pnei shiruya l'chamei ba'kama yisot achayrot. Pesach is different because even if the piece of bread is inedible for human consumption and even for a dog's consumption, or to be more precise, it's edible for a human being's consumption. Inedible for a human being's consumption, but edible for a dog. You may not eat it, but you can use it to make more bread. What do we call that today? Sourdough. So sourdough I'm not going to eat, but it's good enough to be the starter to make other dough. If you want to see, Pat Bamelach right here in the front can give you a beautiful presentation how that's done. And indeed, that's the way we paskin. So throughout the year, we say if it's inedible for a human being, that's it. It's no longer considered not kosher, just not healthy. On Pesach, we go down a notch. We say that just like in Taharos, Pesach, 7 days or 8 days a year, it can't be edible even for a dog's consumption. We go down a notch. Great. Now, we come to something that's inedible for a dog's consumption. And a real self-righteous dog, rat, raccoon would not eat it. So, as you know, on Pesach, there's three prohibitions with regard to chametz. One is you can't eat it. Number two is
hana'ah.
Hana'ah, you can't benefit from it. Like give it to your pet, and you can't own it. It can't stay in the house. Those are the three things. So we have a piece of bread. We have a noodles, whatever it might be. It's not edible even for a dog's consumption. Can we leave it? First of all, can we benefit from it? Can we give it to our dog? So the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Kuf Aleph Omud Bet, says, Characho Kodem Zmano, you made it so burnt that a self-righteous dog would not eat it, as Rashi says, Shebatel Ta'amo Omar Ito, Mutar Bahana Afilu Lachar Zmano. You can benefit from it. So, inedible for a human being's consumption, inedible for a dog's consumption, you can give it to a dog if he wants to eat it. May get sick, but he can do it. Tosfos explains, and indeed, the Tosfos says very explicitly, if it was inedible just for a human being and not for a dog, you wouldn't be able to benefit from it. So the Trumas Hadeshen and a famous tshuva, and you all know Trumas Hadeshen didn't really get the questions, he made up the questions in order to write the answers. Dino mevasho b'shechar seorim, dio, namely ink that's made out of shechar seorim, what's that? Sechar, beer, made out of barley. Barley, one of the five things that are chametz. Beer. You made somehow ink out of beer. Ink is not edible even for a dog's consumption. Yireh b'shara l'chtovko. You can benefit from it. Namely, you can write with it on the holy holiday of Pesach. Why? It's inedible even for a human being's consumption. So, point number one, if it's inedible for a human being's consumption, you can benefit from it, such as take a pen made out of chametz, inedible for a dog's consumption, and use it. Two, can you leave it in the house? Well, dead giveaway. If you can benefit from it, it's probably in the house, but just to make everything clear, the Rif says, you don't have to burn it, something that has a little chametz in it, but it's not edible, says the Shulchan Aruch. You can leave it in the house. But the actual piece of bread that became spoiled, and so too, if it's a piece of bread that used to be edible, it's no longer edible even for a dog's consumption, so that you burn it real well. Incidentally, that's what we do when we burn the chametz, and therefore, incidentally, if you want to really burn chametz properly, you have to make sure it's edible before making it inedible. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you can leave it in the house. So point number one, can you take something that's inedible for a dog's consumption and benefit from it, like write with it?
Yeah.
Yes. Two, do you have to sell it? Do you have to remove it from the house?
No.
No. Now we come to the big issue. We said there's three prohibitions of chametz. One is benefit, no issue if it's inedible for a dog's consumption. Number two, can you leave it in the house?
Yes.
Number three, can I eat it? Now, there's the real McCoy. Now, no one in this room, I hope, no one here, even with half a brain, will eat something that's inedible even for a dog's consumption. That's like a mute question. If someone asks that question, the answer should be, I think you should see professional help. But we do have things that indeed we eat, quote unquote, albeit it's within something else that makes it edible. For example, has anyone here heard of gelatin? No one would eat gelatin per se. They'd eat gelatin in a candy. So you have something that has in it chametz that's inedible for a dog's consumption before they put it into whatever concoction they did. Can you or can't you eat it? Literally, eat it on Pesach. Benefit, yes. Leave it in the house, yes. Can I eat it? So it's on the shelf. I can benefit from it. Can I eat it? Says the Ron, yes. You took a piece of bread, you burnt it so well, or you made it so spoiled that even a dog won't eat it. So therefore, by the time Pesach comes in, it's no longer considered chametz. You can eat it. But usually people don't eat a disgusting pizza bread. So though the Gemara just says hana'a, benefit, it means achila too. Comes the Trumas Hadeshen and says, remember my case with the ink that was made out of beer? Says the Trumas Hadeshen. Nira daha da'asri ge'onim, I don't know which ge'onim he's referring to, but obviously rabbis, de'la'el chamit shacharcha kodem zmano ba'achila, that even though you're allowed to benefit from it and use it and write with it, you can't eat it. כיוון דמחשבינה אנו באי למחלה, לא איפסי לדיד די מאכילס האדם, וכל שכן מאכילס הכרס. If you actually put it into your mouth, what are you doing? What are the words the Truma Sadeshin use? Of course you're eating it, but what are you doing by putting it into your mouth? Kevan de mechashvinan uvai lemechlei. You make it chashuv. What does that mean? Before you put it into your mouth, it's disgusting, it's repulsive. Of course it's something that you can leave in your house on Pesach. It might not be nice, but it's not chametz. Once you put it into your mouth, what have you done? You made it edible. So if there's something, whatever it might be, and you put it into your mouth on purpose to eat it, you have machshivt it. You have made it again into something that is food. It used to be non-food because it was not edible for dog's consumption. You put it into your mouth, you have transformed it back into food. But the Truma Tadeshin is quick to point out, Aval b'mashenotena kumus tefiv kedei la'achzika. You ever see people write? In the olden days, remember the olden days? People used to write with a pen. You know, now they write with their cell phones during a shiur. When a lecturer is talking, everyone's on their phone. It's always more interesting to see what's in the phone. But once upon a time, when there was no phones, they would do the same thing. Albeit, Bruce, not with your phone, they do it with a pen. So you have a pen in your hands and you're doodling during class and you're making a picture of the teacher and you want to kill the teacher so you put a gun on it. You know, everyone's doodling. And in the middle of doodling, the pen's not working. What do you do when the pen doesn't work? You take your tongue out and you put it in your mouth. Whoa! You just put ink made out of beer into your mouth on Pesach. Did you now make it edible? Did you eat chametz?
No.
Says that not too much addition. No. Why? That's not considered machshivdit, making it important. Making it important is taking a plate full of ink and eating it. Putting a bowl full of ink and eating it. But by mistake, you put it in your mouth, that's not it. What he says by mistake, putting it in your mouth, it's not eating it, the Rosh, one of the Rishonim, says is, the Rosh on the left side of the page says, Afafi the batla data ochel et kol adam, mikol makom, kivan de ihu ka'achilei asur. See, even though 99.9% of Efrat does not eat whatever this inedible piece of chametz is, say, the ink, the minute you, ihu, ka'achilei, have eaten it, asur. V'chein atava rava barceloni zal, v'zeh l'shono v'hal emile de muta b'hana'ato, l'hana'achar zmano v'b'achila l'o. Comes the box and says, what is he talking about? After all, it's inedible. You're allowed to benefit from it. You're allowed to leave it in the house. Why can't you eat it? And he answers, even though when it's by itself, it's inedible. Once it's in a tarovet, it's with these other things, and you eat it. So basically, we have three points of view with regard to eating. Everyone agrees you can benefit from chametz that's inedible for a dog's consumption. Everyone agrees that you can obviously leave it in your house. You don't have to sell it even with the chametz. But can you eat it? Going to the Ron? Yes. Benefit goes together with ownership, goes together with eating. Truma Tadeshin says, well, of course you can leave it in the house, but if you eat it on purpose, then usser. If you eat it by mistake, that's okay. It's only that you make a hinani muchan umazuman mekayim mitzvah to eat this piece of, say, detergent made out of chametz, and you would drink it. But if you didn't make a hinani muchan umazuman, but it got into your mouth somehow, can anyone give me the scenario that can happen?
You're washing a plate.
You're washing a plate. Let's take a cup. Cup is better. You're washing a cup, and some of it remains in the cup.
And you pour in something.
You pour in some water. You drink it, and as you're drinking, it's soapy in here. So it's too much addition. That's nothing. If you knew there was soap in there, you wouldn't drink it.
Right.
Exactly what he says is nothing. The Rosh said is something. Goes into your mouth. Case closed. Now, so let's turn the page. Do we have a precedent of this in halacha? The answer is yes. Rav Rubam of the Rishonim we saw says that if it's something inedible, you can eat it. However, there is an ascending opinion saying the minute you put it into your mouth, all bets are off. And the descending opinion there is exactly the minority view we saw today. One Rosh is exactly what you see on the next page. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins. The Yoshal Aveko Chavi Musar. You have ink made out of something that was either cooked by a non-Jew or something that is usher because of Avodah Zarah. And from this Avodah Zarah, they made ink. It's mutar to chol zehavi with gum. And therefore, he answers, "Vayen leel siman kuf kav gimad unogin eter b'davar shenokin bo chomet olu b'havi lizgam v'nimradu adin b'diyo." However, he brings the Piskei Atosfos. The Piskei Atosfos and Avodah Zarah. Whoever heard of the Chavot Da'at, he says the same thing. Diol yave shenotnim po yayin. If you have ink made out of wine that was usher because of Avodah Zarah, stam yenam yesh lahachmir l'fishe v'od olach noton v'piv hakomus. So we have a descending opinion saying the minute goes into your mouth, that's off. So we have three opinions about eating it. One is you can eat it. The other opinion is obviously you can't eat it if you want to, but if by mistake it goes into your mouth, it's fine. And number three, the minute it goes into your mouth, all bets are off. All bets are off. La halacha, how do we paskin? Look on the bottom of the page, you'll see there's three points of view. The Shulchan Aruch says, and this is the code of Jewish law, ink that is made out of beer, you can write with on Pesach, the Minchas Yitzchak, which is far from being a modern Orthodox rabbi, big posek in the Haredi world, says, "V'hine hagaon maharshaksal, v'tshuvato pshita le'kachkach le'etera, ad she'chitcheged lomar, v'tzachakti alachochashin le'esor, u'mitam shenipsal ma'achila kelef." The Maharshak says, "I laugh at all those that say it's usher." The Katav Shebesefer Morik Tzia, the Morik Tzia was written by Rav Yaakov Emden. He always had spicy things to say because he wasn't a rabbi of a community. He can say what he wanted. He had a printing house at his disposal. He was like the first blogger. He can say whatever he wanted, and he can care less. And he said in the name of his father, Hago'on the Chacham Tzvi, Shesachar Kazela Olsrin. So if you have, say, detergent, and the detergent is definitely not edible for dog's consumption, not only can you own it and benefit from it, if you happen to drink it, who cares? It's inedible. No problem. So we have the second point of view, and that is if you actually want to drink it, then you got a problem. The Magen Avraham says, So remember the word achshavei. That's going to be the word. The minute you put it into your mouth, achshavei, but the Mishnah Berurah is quick to point out, it's also midirabbanan to drink, eat it, but that's only who rotzel echol asur daha achshavei. If you want to eat it, then it's achshavei. So you have a piece of something that's inedible, say detergent, and it's made out of chametz, and you want to drink the detergent for some reason, you want to clean your mouth out with soap. Oh no, you said a bad word. You want to self clean your mouth out with soap. You want to drink it. You make a shahakol miyabidvaro when you drink it. You have now transformed the inedible chametz to edible, and it's also the rabbanon. But says the Mishnah Berurah, im nafal mimele chametz zeh shenifsal me'achilas kelef l'tocha ma'achal, if it's fell in by mistake and you don't know it's there, v'afilu raf beruvo en le'esor le'echol l'tocha ma'achal da'chametz hu da'afrika ara v'lechashin hashem yishach v'den komos l'toch piv d'ze davka v'gishachol b'chavana v'shum dehu ach shvei ma'she'en ken shu lo b'chavana. And in the Be'yuda says exactly the same thing, namely ach shvei only works if you want to drink it. So I want to drink coffee. See, I'm drinking a cup of coffee. Had this been on Pesach and this cup of coffee was an edible chametz and I wanted to drink it and I drank it, says the Mishnah Berurah, working off the Trumat HaDeshen, that I have just eaten chametz, midrabanan, but eaten chametz. However, if I don't know there's chametz inside, such as this cup wasn't washed out properly, there's detergent that's in here, and I put it into my mouth not by mistake, I didn't know it was in there. Who in their right mind would drink detergent? Have you machshivd it? Have you transformed it from inedible to edible again? Of course not! Because it was done by mistake. Exactly what we just said, done by mistake, the Shagas Ayeh, is Machmir. What? We'll get to it in a minute, all the examples. This is the end with the Shagas Ayeh. The third opinion, So the Shagas Ayeh says it's subjective. Namely, if you put it into your mouth, all bets are off. So to sum up, Pesach, we go down a notch, it has to be inedible, even for adults' consumption. But if it is, you can leave it in the house, no ownership problem. You can benefit from it, such as writing with it. Can you eat it? One group of Rishonim, and that's the way it seems like the Shulchan Aruch Pasen says, yes, it's not chametz anymore. The other point of view says, achshavei, you have machshivd it again. You transformed it into being something edible. How do you transform it? By putting it into your mouth on purpose. You want to eat it. And the third point of view is, even if you did it by mistake, Tufnug, sorry you did by mistake, you're a good Jew. If you drank that detergent, you have eaten chametz on Pesach, you better bang on your chest on Yom Kippur. One more al chet for eating chametz by mistake, but hey, the minute it goes into your mouth, that's it. Based on this shir, let's make a little seder. Something that you totally do not put near your mouth. Is there any reason for it to have a kashrus for Pesach? Absolutely none. There isn't one point of view that says yes. Nothing, no one has said that furniture polish put on the furniture has to be kosher for Pesach. No one. No one. Shoe polish, no. Second degree. That's first degree murder. When Jews come out with kosher for Pesach bleach and kosher for Pesach furniture polish, it doesn't go near your mouth. The only problem begins when it goes near these lips and goes into the mouth. That's when the issue begins. So first of all, off the books, totally not part of Judaism. Cleaning for Pesach, which interprets itself as to cleaning dust, is exactly in the same category as buying kosher for Pesach furniture polish. Absolute bupkis. Bupkis. No way to say, oh, it's a nice chumrah. None. It has nothing to do with Judaism. A different religion, yes. Judaism, not. Category number two. If you put it on your body. So there is a point of view on Yom Kippur called Sicha Keshtia.
Yeah.
Does it lend itself to Pesach? Probably not. And again, I say that's very far from Judaism, but if someone would say soap that you put onto your body, if Sicha is Keshtia, I'd begin to hear it. But again, far-fetched. Category number three. When does the problem begin, based on the shir?
When you eat it.
So anything that doesn't go near your mouth is not an issue. What do we eat?
Medicine.
So let's take medicine as the example. Pills, so you have a pill, and it's coated with inedible chametz, even for a dog's consumption. And you put it into your mouth. You put it into your mouth. According to the Rosh, the minute you put it into your mouth, you machshivd it. According to the Trumas Hadeshen, in that middle opinion, you don't want to eat it, you want to swallow it. What, are you going to take a nice bowl of pills and say, hey, come on, everyone, we're going to eat pills together? That's what the Trumas Hadeshen said was no. But to take one pill or two pills, whatever the doctor said, there's absolutely no one in their right mind that would come to a rabbi and say, Rabbi, I have to take a pill. What bracha do I make on a pill? The pill is inedible. You're swallowing it for medical purposes. Okay? So definitely the Trumas Hadeshen and the Shulchan Aruch, meaning Rova Poskin, would say nothing. The only one that would say problem is the Rosh. Oh, you put it into your mouth? That's a wrong. Shagazaya, into your mouth, achshavit. That's what you got all the lists for the Rosh. But again, the Rosh is one opinion. One opinion out of three. To make all these lists and make people crazy for one opinion, don't understand it. When does the problem, according, begin? When you take inedible chametz and you eat it on purpose. Really on purpose. What do we eat on purpose?
Edible food.
So usually this question doesn't come out 99% of the time. So any question you want to ask now makes sense. You take mouthwash. Mouthwash. So according to the Rov Ruvam Shel Poskim, the mouthwash can be pure chametz. As long as it's inedible for adult consumption, am I eating? Even if I eat it, who cares? It's inedible for adult consumption. I can even drink it. But obviously I spit it out, so it's not even a question. According to Trumas Hadeshen, dead giveaway, you don't want to eat it. Why? You spit it out. Dead giveaway, mouthwash, you don't want to eat, you spit it out. Going to the Rosh, well, the minute it goes into your mouth, achshavei. But it's one opinion only. And again, the Mishnah Brewer doesn't paskin that way, the Magen Abraham doesn't paskin that way. One Shagasaye I found how paskins that way. Same thing in Hisseva Hesher, one Chavos Das paskins that way.
Yeah.
But if you say, well, I put it into my mouth, there's a room for a chumrah, I say, okay, that's part of Judaism already, it is a chumrah. But a chumrah it is. So, accordingly,
toothpaste?
Look at the beginning of the page. I just said toothpaste. Dish soap, according to the Rov Ruvam Shel Poskim, not an issue.
Yeah.
You can obviously benefit from it and own it, but even more so, doesn't need a kosher hechsher for Pesach because you're not drinking it. If you happen to drink it because it's in the cup that you didn't rinse out properly, even the Truma Tadeshen and the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham would say it's not achshavei, because if you knew there was soap in there, you wouldn't drink it. The only one that would say, problem, achshavei, is the Rosh. Therefore, gentlemen, when you go shopping, I suggest you go shopping for kosher, for Pesach, edible food, absolutely 100%. Once it comes to anything that has nothing to do with your mouth, there's no reason for hechshers for Pesach. Don't look for them. Whoever's telling you that you should is absolutely, and I say this and I'm using my words very carefully, is absolutely stealing money from the Jewish people. Because for every hechsher you pay. So obviously the kosher for Pesach furniture polish will cost more money than the non-kosher for Pesach furniture polish. It doesn't go near your mouth. There's no issue. Once it goes into your mouth, I could begin to hear an issue, but Rov Rubam Shel HaPoskim say there is no issue if it's inedible for a dog's consumption, such as toothpaste. But if it goes into your mouth, the Rosh will say, oh, it goes into your mouth, that's it. Oh, you spit it out afterwards? The Truma Tadeshen will say, it's fine. But the Rosh would say it would be a problem. So then I could begin to hear, okay, kosher for Pesach. But the Rov Rubam Shel HaPoskim say, if it's inedible for a dog's consumption, it only becomes achshavei, if you want to eat it, like you want to eat matzah, like you want to eat matzah brei, you want to eat the toothpaste. If you want to eat the toothpaste, it's achshavei. And allow me to end with the following story. So everybody here knows, until it goes into your mouth, no issue. Once it goes into your mouth, it is a chumrah. A chumrah it is, but only a chumrah. Allow me to end with the following story. That toothpaste does not need a hechsher for Pesach for all the reasons we say. It's inedible for a dog's consumption, and even if you put it in your mouth, you spit it out. So one guy in the class, he was a real, as we say in Yiddish, he was a, anyone know the term? He was a fine schmecker. He's going to show Rav Soloveitchik what's happening over here. He takes his dog, he puts toothpaste in front of the dog, and the dog eats it! Comes to shiur the next day. Rav Soloveitchik, you were wrong! Forget about your whole lumdus. It's actually edible for a dog's consumption. How do I know? Because I gave it to my dog, and he ate it. To which Rav Soloveitchik, without batting an eyelash, says, who are you going to believe? Me or your dog?